How you doing, y'all? I'm your host with the most, so have a toast. Leader Johnson. Man, listen, what a game. 116-108, Philadelphia. First off, I want to shout out my guy, young Mikey Theodoso, Sixer fan. Theodoso family, their son is one of the best players in the country for 2024 class, Jacob Theodoso. I know they're Sixer fans, so I got to get their love, my man. The Laria Autism Research, shout out to that. His wife is involved with that. Please support autism. Anybody that has any conditions that are hard to deal with, they have to deal with it for a whole lifetime. Please have consideration for them, please. Tally Bone Marrow Research. Listen, tallybonemarrow.org. Theodoso family is a good family, man. And also, I also want to shout out anybody that's dealing with autism. You can follow the Laria Research. You can follow Doros Theodoso, D-O-R-O-S, Theodoso. Find out how to support that. At Tay-Tay Oliver also, her son has autism. She does a lot to support autism. So, and the Tally Bone Marrow Foundation, it's just people that have foundations. I'm so proud to see them. I just want to shout them out here. Y'all, Andy Tally, coach, college football Hall of Fame coach, running a very successful bone marrow foundation. Very inspiring, man. So, shout out to all of them and what you're doing. Now, yes, Philadelphia did it, man. And Miami's tough, man. I just want to talk about how tough they are. So now, looking at this game, we're going to get to some specifics because let's talk about James Harden. That's the first thing. And we're not even going to get into the doubts because, you know, I had my problems, but I never doubted him. I want to know where his head was at. Only on a couple of games. Not on games where he would have 21 and 10. It was ridiculous for people to say 22 and 10 assists is not. Oh, he's not scoring 35. Stephen A. He hasn't shot 25 shots. Listen, Stephen A. Smith, much love to the OG. Okay? But come on, man. When the trade was made for Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, the first thing it's talked about when guys, any ball-dominant guys join, is how can they play together? And you know, Harden made that happen. Do you know Stephen A. went on national television and said, if Harden would have played better, they would have won last year. What? So you taking all the stuff away from the whole other team? The team Harden was playing good. He was hurt. He had some games he was hurt. But look at them playoffs. Look at last year. He was MVP candidate. There's nothing you can say to that. You can't take it away from the other team if he would have played better. What kind of stuff is that? So you just take. You never put the pressure. Like, listen, I gotta give him. He did go at Durant. In these playoffs, because he was the first person to say the best player in the world. And you got to backtrack that. So you got to get on him. He did. But, which I already knew, LeBron James is the greatest player in the world, man. My thing is, how can you go over a person that's already ahead of you? He's been playing longer than Kevin Durant already. He's older, like, are you crazy right now? Like, he's been playing more NBA years than Kevin Durant. Started earlier than him. There's no way you can, come on. Some of this critique is crazy, but James Harden was getting used to a new team. I even had a tweet where I was like, where's James Harden? We need James Harden. Me now, he's still one of my top five favorite players, but you got to critique when the critique is needed. It wasn't saying we don't need him. Shout out to Tone Trump. He's a local rapper out there in Philadelphia. And he came to tweet and he said, oh, we don't want James Harden. All I said was that if James Harden playing this bad because I was with Stephen A. I said, because you never know what's on a person's mind. I know the talent's there, but is he really doing this because he don't want Doc Rivers here? Because it was shots he was just leaving there. Shots he wasn't even driving aggressive. It was shots where he drove to the hole and just passed. He just was so passive. This game, he was waiting for this game. But one thing I did know is one thing he said and one thing everybody never pinpoints. He's still getting used to playing. This team is still getting used to each other. They are fairly young. There's no team they played in these playoffs that had to take more of adjustment than Philadelphia did, as quick as they did. No team. Who? Toronto? Miami? Phoenix? Golden State? What? Chicago? Denver? Nobody had to get used to trades. Nobody had to be. We talking about what Jokic was doing with Jamal Murray and all that. We talking about the second best. Like, nobody on Denver was on the same level. Being mentioned as Ben Simmons. You can talk about being a player, but Ben Simmons is on a higher level popular status and definitely on a higher level as expectation of a player. Period. You want to call Jamal Murray better than Ben Simmons? He's a better scorer. He's not a better all-around player. Michael Porter, he's a better scorer. He's not a better all-around player. We know what Ben Simmons offered to the table. You can't take it away. So now we go to this game where, you know, James Harden, 31 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. I know it's people at home. We want to see that, and I want to see about 5 games like this first. You sound retarded. He's been productive and impacting the whole season. You know how retarded you have to sound? People say, oh, leader losing those words. Look at the stuff y'all say. The stuff fans say to grown people working jobs that pay more than you, okay? If you wanna come to me and be personal and say, why are they just saying stuff he say? You gotta watch how you come. This man, James Harden, to put in all this work, it was one question on ESPN First Take. Is he supposed to be a top 75 player? Are you kidding me right now? Stephen A. said he don't deserve a max contract. He deserves it. He deserves it. We're talking about the league now. I don't know about your judgment. It's a lot of players that don't deserve their contracts around the whole league. It's been going on for years. When Jim McElvain got paid that money back in the day, oh, my God. Anybody do your homework on the big contract he got? It was so many people. When Shaquille O'Neal started getting $100 million. Stuff went crazy. Stuff went absolutely nuts. Every year it just... When Shaquille O'Neal got that $100 million contract with the Lakers, stuff went crazy. You know, you had Juwan Howard get $90 million. You had Alonzo Mourning. And like I said, Jim McElvain. I always come back to Jim McElvain, a shot blocker. Oh, my God. The robbery of the century. Kevin Garnett got his money. I mean, $100 million was starting to give out like it was nothing. That's when it started. Shaquille O'Neal got that $100 million. That's where I remember the bomb. I remember the bomb at that time, Shaquille O'Neal. So we come now. Yes, Harden deserves a max contract. Man, he's putting too much work not to get it. What he didn't do, my thing is, what did he average during the season? Like, you mean to tell me the games that you're dissecting, you're saying he doesn't deserve a max, but what he did the whole season, the man averaged 22, almost over 10 assists. What he did this season deserves a max. Just the numbers he got this season deserves a max contract. Who's putting up them numbers? Let's put them up. Who's putting those numbers up? At shooting guard. Forget point. Don't do what a point guard is supposed to do. And that would be amazing for a point guard to put up numbers he had. But that's a bad season for y'all. How about that? Just think about that. When you say he don't deserve a max contract, the numbers he just put up is a bad season to James Harden for y'all. That's a max contract. Those numbers are max contract numbers. He's already had double-doubles with points and assists this game. What he did in the season, yeah, you don't judge people all you don't give a max deal all postseason. Just postseason. You got to combine it. And with that combined, just him having this postseason he having, it's still a max contract season to combine it with a season. What he did for the Nets last year, that was crazy what Stephen A. said. Because it was just more than Harden and Durant. It's the coaching. You don't have a coach there. Players not together. You're trying to say if Harden would have played better. You know, if the coach could coach, players can be players all they want to. But this proves to you with the 4-0 blowout of the Nets that you have to have coaching. It just ain't players playing out there. Because that's what the Nets did. They told Steve Nash. Kyrie Irving came out and said, listen, we all going to coach this together. Are you serious? Is this the coach of Brooklyn Run? They'll never win. They will never win. I guarantee they will never win a championship. Never. Until they get a coach in there. Somebody that's going to coach there until they let Steve Nash become a coach. He has to become one first. That's the first thing. For him to be a coach, he has to become one. Drag your balls a little bit. Pull them up. Be a coach. Be a man. Yo, I'm the coach. You get over there. You run that. Are you serious? You got this. You got your point? Come on, man. That's why it's never going to work. Players cannot run the team and coach at the same time. It's players that run the team. They run the ultimate perception. You know, people cater to them. They don't run the team. They cater to them because that's their fish. Joy didn't run that. Jordan ran Chicago, so you better treat Jordan right. But Jerry Krause was the guy, and Phil Jackson, the great coach that allowed Pippen to be there. Pippen, anytime they talk about Jordan, Jordan never won without Pippen. So you can talk about what LeBron did, same thing Jordan did. He just stayed with his star. LeBron didn't have a star when he left Cleveland, okay? All right. Y'all get to talking basketball, y'all. I get to talking basketball, I understand. But this is where you're at in the foul of your sports. We get real here. Now, people talking about this could be a, you know, he can go back and score 22 and 13 next game. But what you do know is that guy's here. For him to have a game like that in the playoffs, people talking crazy about him. It was different from the other game he had. Are y'all remember the Bucks game? Philadelphia lost 118 to 116. James Harden had 32 points. In the season, they lost. So before, I remember that. Even though I wanted to see Harden go ahead and I remember what he did for Philly. I don't want him to go nowhere. I'm just looking for the real guy. I'm looking for that guy to come out. That guy. You talking about the Houston James Harden. I'm talking about the Bucks James Harden. I want the Milwaukee Bucks game recently past James Harden. Y'all forgetting. He's out here being a point guard. And I'm so shocked at the type of player he is when he's not scoring. He can get you 18 and 14 assists. But he's still a dangerous guy that can hit 50 on you. He's becoming so, as he gets older, he wants to be a more passive guy. He's using his skills so he can play longer. That's why he's great to be with Joel Embiid. He was great to be with the big three. You know, he thought it was going to be even better. He would have been the point guard. He was. He's looking, he did enough for Houston. He went out and died, put his body out there. He died for Houston. You talk about what he didn't do in the playoffs. You know how much work, I don't care who came in, Paul, Westbrook, nobody put on more work and had more pressure on him than James Harden. Nobody put in that work. As a scorer, nobody. And that's hard to throw your body out there and score. So he want to come somewhere where these guys, he got people that's going to help him. And now he got a blessing because he got Tyrese Maxey. He's a young player. And he got Joel Embiid. They're young players. They can extend his career. He's not going anywhere. So anybody who don't like James Harden, get used to him. Now, come to this game. Jimmy Butler is crazy, yo. If he would have stayed with this team, whew. I think things would have been so different. So different. I think it would have been a championship already for this team. I think the respect that this is not a big four instead of a big three, it is. Tobias Harris put in his work. People got to start listening. Until he leaves his joint, this is a big four. Tobias Harris is one of the best scorers in this league at the power four position. He's been like that. He said he got elbowed in the throat. Any of y'all watch that press conference? I call him the Albie Shore of the NBA. Listen, did you see it? He always talked like this. And then, yeah, and I think we just need to. So when he got hit in the throat, y'all just made him talk lower. Y'all just helped. I was saying y'all helped him out. He talked like that anyway. But I hope he okay, though. I'm just joking. I hope he okay. But he definitely, he's the smoothest talker at the end of the game. He always got, everything's calm. We just need to get better. And we just had a bad, my God, Tobias. But he's one of the best power forwards in the league. 13 points, And then the defense that's, yo, listen, it was a lot of talk last year, and that was the one thing I talked about. If he was just good a defender, if he is a scorer, just equal to scoring, and it is like that. He's not like, I can't call him elite, but he's a good defender. So he can get on one of your best, he'll get on your best scorer and give him trouble. He's going to have to work now because Tobias has gotten that good at defense. Credit to Doc Rivers. Got them boys in position. He coaches the hell out of the guys. Like DeAndre Jordan, he sticks up for those guys that he's been coaching. Tobias Harris, he sticks up for his guys. Major. That was major to Tobias Harris' defense. Major. Tyrese Maxey, another underrated defender. Been like that since college, since high school. James Harden's a better defender. You know why he's a better? Because he's around better defenders. Guys who are better than him. So the team defense can come together. A great team defense is better than a great elite defender. Because if you got one elite defender, nobody else holding defense, it's also your coaching. It's not good. This game was different for the simple fact that this was a chip on. I think last game you win, but chip on your shoulder game because you're down 2-0. So every game is really a must win after you down 2-0. Every game until you tied up. James Harden had 31 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. He's 8 for 18. He's had games where he was 6 for 17. So Stephen A., again, he didn't shoot 25 attempts. What the difference this game was, he attempted 6 three-pointers. He hit 6 three-pointers. And but the difference was he was hitting them from places. You was like, what in the heck? That's James Harden. He'll never get that credit. You know what? What kind of made me gravitate to him was not just his play, but he's a guy who don't get the credit he deserves. He's one of the best scorers. He's up there with Michael Jordan. It's about scores. Kobe Bryant, he's a better scorer than Kobe. Whatever. He's not better than Mike, but he's better than Kobe. We don't talk about rings. Because Harden never played with Phil Jackson and the rest of them players. But Harden scored 36 points almost came out hard on y'all. Almost cursed right there, man. Almost came and cursed real hard. An effing game. 36. Ah, the pressure. And he had to do all that, man. You can go at me all you want. Oh, Kobe. Kobe's a better player. But he's not a better scorer. And what's the difference? Kobe can do stuff more. He's a better defender. He's a better passer. Oh, whoa. Sorry. Better defender. And his scoring, the way he can chop a game up, driving. And the way he takes over a game is better than James. But who's going to this is the big difference. James can get 50 points in the game. Kobe get 36. But those 36, along with his elite defensive play and his Mamba moxie, it's just better. He hits the shots at a better time, at a different time. James can get 50 in the game, and Kobe's 36 are more important because when he hit the shots, how he hit the shots. And that's all that's missing from James Harden. But as far as a bucket machine, he's going to light it up. That's because he's going to attempt more shots at that time than Kobe would. He's going to try to win this game. And I think that's what happened when other teams ran out of gas. But no doubt, is Jordan the greatest scorer? It's kind of hard. Could I call Jordan the greatest scorer? I think you're not even going to. The real great scorers is like Allen Iverson, James Harden. You can't say Michael Jordan is there, no doubt. Michael Jordan's top five. Who's number one? Could it be Jordan? Or if you're trying to say score, you got Elgin Baylor, super scorer. Jerry West, super scorers, man. We're talking about, we'll light it up on you. We'll light it up. Shoot out the gym. This didn't just start happening when Steph Curry got here. Sometimes it wasn't even no three-pointers. Guys could have averaged 50 a game. We're not talking about right now. I don't think Jerry West and them could have the athleticism because I still highly believe there are better players playing now than not smarter because they didn't have the athleticism these guys got. They don't have to be smart. They just jump over you. There were more athletes, better players now. You can talk about your generation. I'm not even from this generation, but this generation is better than the generation I came from. They're more talented. They're more talented. They're more athletic. They know centers passing is crazy. So you come to Joel Embiid game today. And Joel Embiid coming off an injury. He's playing. It's like Allen Iverson, 7'2". He's playing with injuries. And that's a center playing. It's different from a guard. A center going, when you hurt yourself, it's going to hurt more because you got to play with all that weight and size. Embiid had 24-11. Mind you, 2 assists. He was 7-13. 9-13 from the line. See, Harden being 9-10 from the line and Joel being 9-13. We're not talking about, you're talking about the most foul people in the league. We got 4 turnovers for Embiid, 6 turnovers for Harden. We got to talk about that. You know, you got to stop it, but they didn't have as many, but they were able to make up for the turnovers. Danny Green, 11 points, 4-for-6 from three. The three-point shot, a couple of them shots he hit, I was like, oh, my God, he's in his bag right now. What's going on? He's ready. He welcoming any competitors. Off the bench, Niang, who was that man off the bench, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, hitting those trays. He has one of the best shots, man. I didn't realize his shot was so silky smooth. It's not smooth, but it's just like, oh, my God, man. Like, yo, when he shoot that joint, like, you just know what's going on. He's one of them guys, you know, a couple of them going to go in this game. By the way, he had 2 3-pointers this game. Matisse Thybulle. People don't understand how impactful he is, the way he's able to be a defender. And you got Paul Reed out there, them two good defenders. That bench is very underrated, or I say overlooked in terms of defense. People not really analyzing that. You got Thybulle and Paul Reed are good defenders. DeAndre Jordan's a long guy. He don't have to do much but put his body up there to direct shots away. He's not Joel Embiid, so it won't be like that. Shake Milton, he only had 2 points. He's a guy that's in danger of hit. He can hit 20. Looking at Tyrese Maxey. And I think it needs to be granted, you know, you don't have to score 30. 18 points is enough. Just have games where you give him 30. You have to be a guy that at least can make him think you're going to hit 30 every night. People going to start listening. You don't think they're giving Tyrese Maxey a couple of double-team looks like sometimes they have their defense on the floor? Like, you might have to just pay attention to him. Just to pay attention part is enough. He just had 30 this series. That's 2 series with 30 points, by the way. 30-plus was the first game, but, wow. It was a good performance to see. I'm just saying, people, don't be hate mail about James Harden. You don't want him, this and that. You're just trying to ask him to, you know, come outside. We outside, Harden. We need you to. That 31 points was like, I'm outside too. The game is kind of a fact that Miami don't get the credit. They really a tough team. Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. They got players all over the floor. You know, Spare Exposure don't get the credit he deserves. You know, he won the championship with Dwayne Wade. You can't talk about, you know what's tripped out? People always talking about who people play with. You got to play with somebody to win a championship. I don't know one team that played with less than 2 good players, championship players. They might not have made, and more than likely they are all-stars, but they're not, they're still one of the top players. You got to have 2 of the top players in the NBA, period. Whether it's a top 30 player, a guy that's going to impact, yeah, impacts the game. So it's so crazy for people to say when there was, you know, people talk certain. And I'll get to another subject on that in my next foul leader. But this game has went to the side of the Sixers for the simple fact Embiid's back. And he changes both sides of the game. Harden's not going to win this championship by himself. He couldn't do that in Houston. Kevin Durant couldn't do it just in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. They couldn't even get over a series, but yeah, I'm gonna put it in there. He couldn't get over a series with Kyrie Irving because all that mess they talked. Oh my God. Oh my God. Brooklyn Nets is gonna be the champions. They had to watch. They gotta get through. You're forgetting the whole point of basketball. It's an all-around game. You gotta have good coaching, great players, great teammates, good scheme. Like, you gotta have, it's an all-around thing. And this is, that Brooklyn Nets should be microscoped in like a series. Like, it's not a one-player sport. It's not just because you got Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. You can just win doing anything you want. .7 rebounds, 9 It says this game, James Harden acted a complete fool. That's only going to let people know that next year is going to be scary. They're my number one contenders next year because it's not a clear favorite in these playoffs. Even right now, I think Philly can win it if they beat the series first. If they go out 4-2. I'm going to say they can win it. But if they go to 4-3, I'm going to say, no, they're just going to make it to the finals. But that was a statement game. If Harden is back like that, and you know, with that game happening, it kind of opens up because, you know, he was just trying to be aggressive, be smart. But with got shots like that going in now, not only is the confidence level up on those shots, confidence level on you wanting to feel that feeling again. So you're going to be trying to chop people up on certain plays that you wasn't doing it before. I mean, he was amped up. He was having the most fun I seen him have this whole season on the court. That energy was crazy. So I ultimately feel like this is a good sign, but they have to take him out. 4 games or 2. That's it. And if it was a better team in the playoffs, I'd be like, oh, man, I still don't see them winning with 4 games or 2. But Phoenix and Golden State haven't, like, they don't have that dominant factor that says, oh, it's over. This is it. Milwaukee's there. Miami is one. Philly. Boston. Anybody could take this title. But looking at the stars left on the floor, Philadelphia has the advantage. But the only way where they now had an advantage, where it's a minus, is their chemistry. I'm telling, like, on paper, it's different. You might want to say, oh, Golden State look good on paper. They don't have Harden and Embiid on paper along with everybody else. So this is big for Philly. Huge. Just to win out in Philly and just win these 2 games. Got to see, you know, Harden really has been trying to get to it, just trying to figure this team out game by game. And games like that just let you know he's getting closer and closer to feeling, you know, a comfortability is different. Philadelphia 76ers will go into the next game. And, of course, I expect Kyle Lowry to play harder. You can't never think of somebody hurt. Players like that are not going to step up, especially in the playoffs. Jimmy Butler, wow. Like, are you crazy right now? I mean, he is just, I even try to kind of separate the superstar level. Like, we got to see more because I'm hard with the superstar thing. Because I called him one at first in the playoffs before. Not last year, but a couple years. And Jimmy Butler showed his butt. All the time he does this. When are you going to call him a superstar? He don't have to get endorsements and contracts. That's part of it, too. What you look like to the fans and what you're doing on the court combined. That would make Ben Simmons, listen, y'all don't want to say it. I know you probably have another criteria, but Ben Simmons is in superstar level. I mean, he's been popular since he was in high school. The number one player in the country. Became the number one draft pick. Became a point guard at 6'10". And became an all-star. That's some superstar, yo. That's superstar, a superstar role. And then he's so liked by people outside, and people. He's just a nice guy. And it was the first time now people are like against Ben Simmons. He'll have a good comeback. He'll make a comeback. It'll be all right. But I still think they're back. Listen, Jalen Rose said that people deserve an apology. Ben Simmons deserves an apology. Stop it. For one, let me get on this. Now, I hope Jalen Rose hears this, because this needs to be said. I hope he says this. I'm Leader Johnson, Jalen Rose. I said this. This needs to be said. Your analyst, I think you should hear it, homie. I think you should hear this and definitely put it out there. Because if you say he deserves an apology, then this deserves to be out there. Ben Simmons' sister has, I think, depression problems. Let's get this clarified. And they were having a dispute some years ago where something about she said he don't do nothing for his parents and all that. Then he got on Facebook and he had a car. I mean, not Facebook, he got on Twitter and put the car. But after all the stuff was going off, that she was going off on Ben Simmons, she was getting into it with him, he put out there, crazy pills. Look it up. On his Twitter, he put out crazy pills. Basically talking about people that had depression problems. She has a depression problem and takes pills for it. That's another thing. Is he taking pills for his depression? You want to sit out because you're depressed? We know that you can't even get me to, you can't, that's one thing you can't get proven. That's BS. And then, you know, you have to be sensitive, I guess, people. I don't know. I don't, because I only have to be sensitive when there's a reason to be sensitive, not hidden sensitivity. I mean, I understand why y'all do that, because you want to say, look, we got love for the people with depression. It's, no, he doesn't have it. I don't care what you're saying. No, I don't care what you're saying. There are people that actually have that, that deal with, take pills. How many psychiatrists have you went to? You better get out of here with that. That can't be one. That's non-debatable. Non-debatable. Now, the back surgery thing. Okay, I just want to know how you get hurt, and you ain't been playing no basketball. What moving did you do to mess your back up to where you need surgery? Is it two BS's going on? Because people got money to pay off enough people not to take, put lies out there. Yes, we know there have been reports about injuries that have not been put. It's like when the NBA just fined Philadelphia $50,000 for not putting out the injury thing. This stuff, little stuff like that, can let you know that things cannot be cared about, not said. For them to want to fine somebody $50,000, this has been some real BS that had been put out there from other teams about other teams, for them to find a player $50,000 because Philadelphia didn't disclose the injury. So, like, that was crazy. That's a lot of money for that. I don't get that. I really don't get that. So we know, guys, that behind closed doors, a lot of things you will not. False. It's a lot of false reports that are done. Some injuries players keep under wraps until you don't even know they're playing with them until like the end of the season, or sometimes 3 years later. They don't tell nobody. They don't tell the media. They don't tell their coaches, or they tell their coaches not to tell the media and let me play. But bottom line, this back surgery thing. Why? If he deserves an apology, we need an apology for, let me know about this mental relapse you had as a grown man. A grown man has a mental relapse. We're not talking about the mental illness. No, that's not it. He doesn't have that. You can say what you want. Crazy pills, remember? So I'm out of here with that one, man. That's a whole nother deal. You know, he would say, oh, you're a Philly fan. Well, that's about, you can put that in the reason. That's the reason why, you can mention it, because I'm a Philly fan. That's all that can happen with that. You can mention I'm a Philly fan. But if the facts go with the love for my Philly fans, then I ain't got nothing against that. I don't know what it's the real fact. It's a bunch of BS that you sit up here saying mental illness. Then we're talking about back surgery, which is cool. I wouldn't even say nothing about Jalen when they say he needed an apology. An apology? Okay, let's go further. If an apology needs to be had, then we need to go further into this back surgery. What happened? Why is it like that? Why does he need back surgery, but he hasn't done any basketball? Can you tell us how this happened, doctor? Yo, this is crazy. Can you explain this to us, doctor? But you know, when Ben got to win his cases, Ben got to not pay money. Now Ben, he's playing chess. Now he wants to sue Philadelphia Because the money he gave away. Oh, this is all a plan. Now you're seeing he has depression problems. He has his back surgery he needs. You're trying to get back, and now everything has to work for you. You have to have a mental illness and a back surgery. Ben Simmons been playing with us for how long? He got injured his rookie year. When the heck did he have back problems? When did he ever need a mental? Because if Philly said to him, mental, okay, okay, it's cool. We know you, okay. It's cool. 34 and 35 and 20 and 31 and 24, 55 points combined. Not to mention if you add Maxi with 18, Tobias with 13, Niang with 10. That's six guys in double figures. That's why I say about a bench, man. All they need is that. You see what happened against a good team? 116 points. Y'all talking about a bench. A bench don't have to score as much. They don't. But you know Shake Milton can knock 30 on you. You know Niang can knock 30 on you. I mean, he won't get 30 a night anytime in his career, but he can. You better watch out. He will get a 30-point game with them threes. Shake Milton, you mess around, he one of them guys that can get it on you. Many players that can even score 30 in a game, for them, for you to say he can actually get 30 on you, it's big. Because some guys just won't get 30. They might get 20 at their highest, and that's good, right? Off the bench. But 30, you can, it's big. It's big. Niang is a very good shot. I mean, he's really one of my favorite shooters. He just really has a good shot. Who I think has the biggest game is my question. I'm going to say. Next, you just never know now. I know, you know, Embiid and Harden are going to impact. But I think Harden's here. That duo has gotten close. And that is scary. Ooh, it's scary. I think what Philly should do, something has to happen with Tobias. If Tobias doesn't leave, or, you know, if he doesn't get traded, then they need to ask him to restructure his contract. I think that should happen first. I mean, can you go down some notches to help us get some players, bring in Bradley Beal? Can you go down, Harris? I don't think he will. I'm about to end this, man. This was big for the Sixers. Big for the Sixers, man. It's going to be a big game. Miami's good. Chicago's good. This is going to be huge. So, I just think Philly, the more they lose, when they lose, they always learn. Every controversy, you see them come back from the heart, need to score. They end up answering it. From the bench, need to score. They end up answering it. Like, they just haven't come together as a team to do it consistently enough. You see, it's there. So, this is big. I'm out. Follow the leader. Leader Johnson. Yeah, it's your man. It's your boy, Leader Johnson, the host with the most. So have a toast at the Follow Leader Sports Podcast. And this is Villanova Radio. What's going on, my Villanova Nova Nationers? Let's talk. Let's have some good conversations. Okay. Shout out to my boy, Alan Ray. The guy. Shout out to Colin Gillespie. I'm going to put some pictures out there today, man. May 8th was a big, I just want to tell y'all, my mom passed, everybody knows, I'm sorry to bother y'all hard with it. April 26th, she passed, her birthday's May 26th, and Mother's Day was, I didn't even know Mother's Day, when she died, I didn't even know Mother's Day was even existing no more, like, you know, it's totally blocked it out, because the whole month just kind of like cloud. It's only been 2 years, man, so, I guess I'm trying to, you know, every year, you know, I'm just trying to, strong. I'm trying to get over the feeling more and more, and y'all help. Sports helps. Life helps. Smiles help. Success helps. Seeing people succeed helps. So, May 8th popped up on my line, and that's the year I released Colin Gillespie and Damir Cosby Roundtree. That's when it was called Scout.com at the time. It wasn't this 247. The Scout was kind of, you know, junctured with it. And I started writing for VU Sports. They were my first two guys I did. And it was a special story. Dada's dad was killed, and he went through a lot. And Colin Gillespie was just the perfect story of the little engine that could. Straight up. Like, he was the if you wanted to be tough and get through things and get through obstacles, that was the guy. That was definitely the guy to look at. So, I mean, if you wanted to overcome without being looked like you should have been looked. I mean, Kyler Gillespie was, listen, man, he was good. But it was the guy that was good that nobody looked at like they should have. Kyler Gillespie should have been a 5-star player. Let's just keep it real. There's a lot of guys that played, but Colin played in Philly. And when he played Quade Green and put and then Quade is a bad boy, but look who had a better college career. Colin put the work in, the real work, Kobe Bryant type work as far as working hard at basketball. We're talking about how hard he worked on basketball. There's a lot of players in the league that worked hard. Mark Jackson was an NBA player that worked hard. You looked at guys that played the point. Donald Williams from North Carolina was a hard worker at this. Jalen Rose, you know, even guys that were just a little bit more under the radar. You know, a little bit more. Guys that Khalil Alameen was a little point guard for UConn that had to really work his butt off. I mean, he had to be talented and he had good dribbles, but look how hard little guys like that have to work. And look at Ryan Arcidiacono. He didn't have to work as hard as Colin. Arcidiacono was a 4-star, almost a 5-star player coming out of high school. From the gate, he was getting minutes and averaging double figures. From the gate, Colin Gillespie had to work and convince people time and time again that he deserved time. Even when he got his scholarship. You know, Jay Wright, you got to earn it with Jay Wright anyway. So he went to the right school because what he earned, he was going to receive. And he did. In Villanova. There's been so many guards that wanted to play. He had Javon Quinterly right there. And Colin worked hard enough to beat out Javon Quinterly. He'd been beating people all his life that he was supposed to not beat. I even said Javon was going to start at point guard. Yes. I said, well, Javon going to get the point guard position. You know, Colin going to put it down. But he even beat the leader's prediction. I just thought that he was a 5-star and the overall odds was going to go to Quinterly. He had the talent. Colin beat out Quinterly. Quinterly, great handles. Look, he's starting for. He beat out a man that's starting for Alabama, a tournament team right now. Let's talk about really how good and great Colin Gillespie is. Went out, man. Saw that tear come from his eyes. That tear almost came from my eye. I'm like, Jesus. Don't do that. Don't do it, Colin. Don't. Oh, he did it. Oh, the tissue. Tissue, please. I needed it. It was crazy. Jermaine, it's good to see 550. I had never seen, you know, the circumstance. Just imagine if we got Archie and Oshefu back for another year. We got Hart back for another year. That would have been crazy, right? You know, if Hart played all the way to 5 years, like that'd have been great. We get Booth. Booth played a long time. Booth played enough. We did have a guy, and Booth, he played about 6 years. Not played, but Booth had got hurt a lot. So he had got some medical red shirts. So, all in all, I mean, just Colin just did so much. And this team really, this is a good team. It was almost, if Justin Moore would have been hurt, this team would have won the title. Justin Moore being hurt killed it all. Sorry, they tried though. But Justin Moore took that much out that team. That much work that Colin just could not do. And Samuels, it was just too much. Dixon wasn't ready to just go bananas yet. And Slater, you know, just he only could do what he could do. That level of Slater being that good isn't there. I think next year Slater will be to that point. I think Dixon and Slater next year come to that point of really putting the pressure's on them now. Like, there's no Collins, no Jermaine. They have to be good. And Caleb Daniels has to be good for this team to be the top 10 team I predicted. They have to be the first three. I don't care who else comes in. I don't care who else helps. I don't care who somebody scores more points. They have to be the first three to set the tone. if I completely had to think about it, Dada, he was just more than a player, man. Really a special, special, special character. Just presence. Special presence, man. He just had that energy. Even when he played, man, he used to holler. He did it in high school. He'd dunk on you. You know he was into it. You saw so many pictures of him hollering. Ah, oh. You get intimidated just by seeing Numa Gorety and him shouting. So, oh, I got to go play them? Jesus. But I saw some guys. Scotty Lewis was on there. He popped up. Rossier Bolton, who is now, he's with Gonzaga. Scotty Lewis down in the NBA. I was a big fan of Scotty Lewis and Brian Antoine. That was just my favorite high school duo to this day. Them guys was must-see TV. Brian Antoine's going to transfer. I don't know what teams. I guess he's going to find somebody that's just going to give him time right away. That's what he needs to find. Somebody that's going to just put him right in there, let him just do his thing. Like, let him just mess up, whatever, and just keep on letting him take shots. Like, and he knows with Cal Neptune. Everybody wanted to know, why is the Brian Antoine situation? What you mean? Jay Wright got his guy, then his guy's going to get his undivided attention. If he works, even if he is hurt or he hasn't got the offense all the way, as long as he's working hard and he's trying to gain that offense, he's going to get that man a shot. Certain people. Brandon Slater was one of them. Brandon Slater is one of his guys. One of his, listen, you could just tell through the talking about him as a recruit, how he was dead. Slater is his guy. When Slater was first coming in and I was saying stuff like, well, why don't Brandon Slater just, as long as he hit like at least 5 points a game off the bench, we'll be cool, start with that. And he was like, when he first started getting time, man, he was not hitting shots. Then he had that one season when you saw it start to progress when he was hitting real high. He finished the season real high from 3-point percentage and field goal percentage. And you just like, all he needed now is the opportunity. The next year, boom, you started seeing it last year. You started seeing it last year. And then he went down. He just disappeared. And now then he started coming back toward tournament time, right time. Looking at players, I want to talk about the point guard position. Let's just do it, people. Y'all been wanting to hear it anyway. Y'all been wanting it. Let's do it, Villanova. Let's talk about the point guard position. Shout out to all my Nova Nationers. I love my Nova Nationers, man. I've been a Nova fan. I'll say this a couple of, who knows the next time I say this, but I always have to remind people because when it comes to my heart, it's close to it. My pop started me out being a Villanova, Penn State fan. Penn State football, Villanova basketball. So I was Penn State and Villanova everything fans. And Villanova has been our heart for years. And this is the best. They can say what they want, man. This team has been very talented the last 3 years. On paper, they've been the best they could ever be talented. But experience has to win, too, in chemistry. So that's how that goes. Now, Mark Armstrong, Angelo Brizzi. Let's talk about those two first. Why are they not getting a shot to battle for their point guard position? You want to say that? It's because, yes, Villanova needs experience, man. But you got first-year impact guys that are so good they need to get a chance because they'll impact. But you want experience, so Mark Armstrong and Angelo Brizzi can come in next year because that's obviously what's going to happen. That's what that is. You get a point guard experience to go ahead and lead the way because Mark Armstrong, what was Brizzi doing last year? He wasn't coming off the bench. He was just looking off the bench. You need one more year for Brizzi to get to look at the point guard, feel Neptune's system. This is not Jay Wright. This is Neptune. Got to get to feel the whole system. He'll have a couple of similar things because it's Nova basketball, but he's a different coach. Look at how Baker Dunleavy plays. Look how Ashley Howard played. It was similar, but different. So it's good to see Courtney Ramey, if he gets in there, to go in there and Armstrong and Brizzi learn. Or you could just let them boys ball out. It'll give them experience for the next year. It'll give them, and if they can get to the tournament, which we all predicting will happen regardless. But it's always an if and you get a rookie point guard. Can it happen with this system? He hasn't coached none of these guys. He hasn't felt out any of these guys. So Now you, Mark Armstrong is he reminds me of Dame Lillard. Like, when a guy, I say a guy reminds me, this, when people say that, they don't mean they're going to be them. They have the talent to be them. That's what that is. This man can shoot from anywhere. He's strong. He can dunk on. It's like he's jumping higher every time, Mark Armstrong. It's like his ups are getting up there, like Cole Anthony. And Cole Anthony surprised you with his ups when he got to North Carolina. Like, whoa. By the time his senior year of high school, he was like, whoa. Mark Armstrong is going to be special. Angelo Bridgey is a special playmaker. As far as passing the ball, he can shoot. He can be a great college player with any program in the country. He's that good on terms of that. But as good as Mark Armstrong, that's just how good Mark Armstrong is. Not saying if you get a guy like Bridgey, he's automatically a great college player. He'll be a good one and productive one with anybody automatically. We're talking about 15 points, 6 assists. That's good. But how are you affecting the game? Can you do that at a consistent level? In big games. Mark Armstrong's a big game guy. I think Bridgey are automatic. I think he can average 15 because he can shoot the three. He's a good size. He's quick and he's strong. But Mark Armstrong can average about 18. But with Villanova, you have to put those stats down a little bit because they spread the ball. So you're looking at, I think Mark Armstrong is the more of the 16, 17 guy, and Bridgey's more the 13 guy. I think Bridgey can average 5 more assists. I think he'll get 6 assists, 5, 6. He's just a better passer than Armstrong. Armstrong can get like 4 assists, tops. You look at Bridgey, he can do things with the ball. He can, listen, you're going to have a guy that you meet that's going to score 16 to 17 and still don't win games. But he's a good guard. The guy could just do it. Villanova crews good guards. So both these guys can start for any college team in the league and in NCAA. So you got 2 starting point guards on your team. That's just the real deal. That's the real deal. But are they ready enough? That's always the question for any guy, any position, any player. Any player that's been there, is he ready? Are they ready? Are they ready for this? So Kyle Neptune is in the school with Jay Wright. He's making sure he's ready. You get you a vet. So, yes, people are trying to talk about these freshman point guards when some guys didn't play. Listen, how many people have impacted as a freshman? Say that. How about that majority of people? You're trying to say they didn't get no chance? That counts, too. Freshmen don't get no chance. We don't want to take no chance. One and dones ain't won enough championships. Kentucky ain't won enough championships for us to say freshmen can just get the automatic yes. So you have to earn your way. If you're a basketball player, you're an athlete, you know this. You know this is rightful to be an athlete. You want to be congratulated for work you put in. So you got to put in some work. So right now we're talking Courtney. If they get Courtney Ramey, who was a guy that I interviewed for 247 when Villanova was recruiting him, they gave him an offer. And he had came from Louisville, I think it was. He transferred from Louisville. And yes, Louisville, what happened was the scandal. That's what it was, the scandal. And they lost him and Anthony Simons. Anthony Simons is now impacting the NBA. It was just like when Javon Quinley with the Arizona. You know, Arizona had a great class when Quinley went over there. The next thing you know, the scandal came. Quinley left. Boom. And it was crazy because Ramey was one of the guards that Villanova was, you know, looking at. You know, after Ramey didn't commit, they was trying to get somebody. But, you know, Ramey is, listen, he's a heck of a point guard, man. That's a great pickup. That's a good backcourt, man. That's a good backcourt. Ramey and Daniels. Totally overrated. You can look at the stats he won in Texas. Definitely didn't get his opportunities there. Like, he should have been coached better. Should have been better opportunities to make more plays. Courtney Ramey is definitely a heck of a point guard. And you put him in a Villanova system, that's nothing but success. So now, if you do that, who is your backup? It's got to be Armstrong or Bridgey battling for that spot. Then you got Chris, who's going to get time at both guard spots. That's how I think he's going to get time at both guard spots. Because now, if you look at it, turn it around. with Antoine going online, Geno is going to be the primary backup for small forward. Who else is playing small? Nobody, everybody talking about line Geno start. Okay, I feel you. So that means who's backing up shooting guard? They're not going to have a stacked shooting guard of Longino, Housen, Archie Diacono, Mark Armstrong, and Brizzy. So it's going to, Longino has to be, he's a guy with the length. He's going to be backing up. Housen's not going to back up the three. Neither is Chris Archie Diacono. It's Longino. He has the size and the length. Nobody's thinking about this. They want him to start where? Point guard? He's not going to start at point guard. He's not that type of player. You let him do his thing from shooting guard to small forward because his length and he can pass. He's not going to be the type of guy to play like on the ball. He doesn't have that type of ability. I mean, talking about Jordan Hall. He's just not, you're going to mess up his whole, I can see if he learned to play that position and play that way. It's not his game. What you want him to start, shooting guard? So Khalib Daniels is now the point guard. So who backs up the small forward position? That means you're going to have to make it Slater and Patterson with Whitmore backing up. Or you're going to say what? Slater has to, okay, so Patterson's backing up the three with Whitmore and Slater. He's backing up the three and the four. That's how you're going to have to do it. So now we got Housen, Archie Diacono, Armstrong, Brizzy. Patterson takes all the three time. He takes all the small forward time. You have to start thinking, Volva fans. Start thinking. That's why I was just like, are y'all crazy? Longino can't start right now. They need him off the bench. So all in all, the guard position is so hard and tight. DeJuan Wagner, Neptune is going in. DeJuan Wagner and Justin Edwards. He's just showing people just talk so crazy, man. And talking about, oh, first you said Jay Wright was the greatest recruiter in the game. Now it's recruiting going to go, it's going to have a surge. Yes, you can have a surge from the greatest recruiter. A surge is a surge. That means there's going to be more scouts looked at, more because he's a different – he's putting his name in the recruiting circle as a head coach now. So he's going after more guys. He's going after showcasing with all the high talent, trying to put his name out there. They know Neptune, but now he's a head coach, different. So he's looking at DJ Wagner hard. When Jay Wright, you had backed off of him. Now here come Neptune looking at him, communicating. Justin Edwards. For a minute, it was kind of like, you didn't know Villanova was going to be involved. And boom, Neptune started getting involved. So here we go. Now, Neptune ain't going to get Wagner, but Edwards, I think he gets Edwards. Wagner is a Louisville guy to me. What I've been hearing, you know, he's definitely a Louisville guy right now. It's an understandable thing to see people worried, but it's nothing to be worried about. Dixon's going to have to kick up. This is the year. That's the man with the – I'm putting the pressure on Dixon and Slater because I think Daniels is going to have an unbelievable season. But Slater, it's time for you to be – we've seen the total package. Too many glimpses of it. It's time for him to be Slater. Dixon has to be that – he has to be threat of a double-double every game, whether it's 10-10, 12-10. We need him to be strong in there and hitting that three-point shot. I think he can score 15 and 10 with the three-point shot. I believe it. But going with the guards and just how they play the game. I just think that's the battle. Armstrong, Brizzy, I really want to see how they're going to have to come in there fighting hard. Because now they're getting the microscope. Because they want – Philadelphia wants to find out who is the – leading point guard, because this is what this is. This is who's going to be the future point guard season. Because next year, it's definitely going to be one of them. And they get to play next to Justin Moore. Khalib Daniels is about to graduate. This is a showcase for Justin Moore to see his partner. Eric Dixon and Nana Njoku learning from him. Them two, I want to see Njoku get time. You know, he's the guy that can rebound, block shots, and he's going to get his time eventually. No question. Njoku's going to have his time to be the future center for the Villanova Wildcats. You know, Njoku said Villanova was a dream school. So this loyalty in their big heart. Big and very hard. Yep. So look, I wanted to get here and just a little Villanova. I'm gonna have some more with football. Quick. Just want to talk about just how good this team's gonna be, and how the guards go. Who's gonna be their second guard off the bench? I think Housen gets a chance to be their second guard. I think Housen is gonna get a chance big time. Housen can be the backup shooting guard. Brizzy and Armstrong can be both getting time, backing up whoever is their point guard, because I believe they get a transfer point guard. I think it'd be smart. Longino is backing up Whitmore. Patterson backing up Slater. That's a real good team. They get this transfer. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. My next segment, come back with Villanova. We're going to talk football. We're going to get on more. But I want to come quick with y'all and talk some Villanova. I'm out, y'all. Leader Johnson. Follow the leader.